The Lord is with us, heart dwellers. Well, the Lord is doing something a little new here, and we're totally enjoying it. I think I've told you that in the past, Ezekiel was a really fine musician. Well, he still is, but a really fine musician. But there came a point where the Lord asked him to put away his music. And then the Lord gave me the gift of music. And he backed me up and supported me and helped me with that. What's been very interesting, a prophet showed up at our house the other day, just out of the blue, and had a prophecy for Ezekiel that he was coming into another ministry. And we've been sitting, looking, and waiting to see what that might be. And with me being so terribly preoccupied, getting this surprise done for all of you, but mostly for our left-behind relatives, it's been very hard for me to get a message out every night. So we've been playing tag team, and the Lord has been speaking to Ezekiel very clearly, just as he did in Chronicles of the Bride. That book is divided into two sections. One are his chronicles, and the other is mine. So I'm going to go ahead and share this word with you, and I'm not saying that I won't be giving more words. I'm sure I will. It's just a matter of logistics right now, and the Lord's whole focus is on saving souls, and those left behind are going to need the things that we're leaving for them. So here's the message from Ezekiel. He began, "This evening I had the consistent feeling that the Lord wanted to sit me down and again give us some guidance concerning these last days and hours. I have to admit, it was very difficult to try to get close to him tonight, as I had intentionally overslept by about 3 hours. And I just want to add here, when you have fibromyalgia and you try to push it and get up, sometimes it ruins your whole day because you didn't get enough rest. But then other times you get kind of dozy and you just lay there and fall back asleep. And well, that's what happened to him. I have to admit, it was very difficult to try and get close to him tonight, as I had intentionally overslept by about 3 hours. I knew that I should get up and get the evening started around 6 p.m. as usual, but my flesh was oh so comfortable under those warm blankets. He sent little nudges and hints, like my precious little cat getting sick to her stomach. I even thought at one point that poor innocent little thing was suffering to move me up and on. Well, after languishing in a stupor of laziness and conviction, the Lord gave me the grace to finally say, no more, as I quickly rolled out of bed and went straight to Claire, confessing my slothfulness and asking the Lord to please forgive me. As the time is getting closer, I think that Jesus is causing our consciences to become more and more sensitive, even to the smallest things. I mean, you can really feel that sinking deep sensation in your spirit when you offend him now, especially if it involves an injury to another person. But this time, it was really acute. And even after Claire prayed, any false guilt or lying spirits off of me, it just hung on. This thing was lodged in there deeply, and I just couldn't shake it. For a rare space of time tonight, the Holy Spirit gave me an up-close and personal look, a real look at just how pure and tender the heart of Jesus truly is, and how often we hurt his heart by these seemingly little sins. I knew that this was genuinely him, and even though I wept at his feet, and he assured me of his forgiveness and love for me, the deep remorse that I struggled with for the next 3 hours left a much-needed mark seared into my conscience, and I know that I don't ever want to deny him anything with his grace ever again. After some encouraging time of prayer, and the Lord's reassurance that I was restored, his focus shifted onto something that he wanted to talk about. ever the discerner, I went to the scriptures to test the spirit. So this is how it began. Behold, I will pour my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Proverbs 1:23. Jesus began, There is much to be done in these last days before I come. It is absolutely crucial that you do not wander in your purpose. Keep your eyes fixed on me, your whole heart, mind, and spirit, and soul, riveted on me. It is imperative that you have my mind. Let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ. You cannot do this on your own. You must pray for this grace, and I will imbue you with the ability to cast down every imagination. All of your faculties you must surrender over again. Place them with faith into my hands, knowing that your Lord and your love and the espoused of your heart and soul is worthy of your complete trust. I will free you from the tyranny of memories, as the enemy will try to play on your affections, relationships, and any remaining attachments to people and things in the world. If these relationships are good and loving, give them to me. I love them far more than you ever could, and I will take them into my special care out of love for you. But now it is time to be intentionally single-minded. Keep up with your daily duties, but do not get bogged down with any projects. I need for you to be as Gideon's wise soldiers. They had come to a watering hole on their way into a major battle. He was told only to take the men who bent on one knee and drank with their hand, as they were alert and watching, even then, for the enemy. Those who bent with their hands and knees, drinking like dogs, he was told to send back home. They would be of little or no use in the great battle that was about to ensue. Even with that, I would yet test Gideon's obedience further still. I cannot stress the importance of obedience strongly enough. You need to spend more quality time in prayer. By that I mean, it isn't enough just to have a personal relationship with me now. You must have a familiar relationship with me. What do I mean by familiar? You were saved and you know me in a loving, beautiful, and personal way, as I do you. But we are coming into a time when, as I said to my apostles, I no longer call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is about. No, now I call you friends. The more time you spend with someone, the more you get to know them on a deeper level. You begin to know their likes and dislikes and their particular way of doing things. I am calling you up higher now. You are about to embark on the eternal journey, the journey of life everlasting, and in the closest way as my bride. Consider a young couple who are in love, and as they have gotten to know one another over a long period of time, it becomes clear to them that their heart's desire is to spend the rest of their lives together. So the man proposes, and his beloved, rejoicing with excitement, accepts. Up to this point, they have seen each other on and off during the week. But now they are planning on building a life together. They no longer go out on regular dates. No, they immediately begin to spend every free moment together. There's not a day that goes by that they are not together. And it continues like this all the way up to the wedding. Why? Because they have just made a profound life commitment, and as with the betrothal, they have already forsaken all others in their heart and mind. Already they are joyfully beginning to become more familiar with the finer points of each other's person and character. We are about to begin our eternal lives together. Our whole relationship is going to plunge into the wonderful and divine depths of life without end, inseparable, together, as one, forever. So now let us set to work in earnest. I want to spend every moment with you. I want to dream and plan and celebrate with you. We will work at the daily chores of this life, together. Every responsibility, every obligation, we will rightfully fulfill. Your whole life will be transformed, because now we are truly moving, breathing, thinking, and living as one. My hands created the heavens. When I call them, they shall part at once. I am restoring you even now and giving new life to you. I am coming in splendor for you, my bride.